The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 10th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you in the studio for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Hope you're doing well. Hopefully you are maybe taking off work a little bit early, getting the kids home and having some food in the house because weather is coming and it's supposed to be pretty nasty outside later on this afternoon and into the night. And as I tell you all the time, don't use me as your weatherman. Look it up. Be sure you're following somebody on the channel. I don't care. Go find it on the TV, the radio, the websites. I don't care. Just go find it and make sure you're up to date on everything that's going on around the Auburn Opelika area when it comes to the weather that is moving in. And so hopefully we can get our show knocked out and out of the way and try to get home before it gets super nasty and try to avoid all that weather. So other than that, great Wednesday. Tons to talk about. And back in the studio, we're back together again, the two of us. It's been a couple of days since Friday. Uncle T-Bone is back, who hosted the show on Monday, and I was talking to him yesterday, Uncle T-Bone, about how the studio's still here, the show didn't get banned, I had something to come back to yesterday, so everything must have gone all right on Monday.
Yeah, we didn't go scorched earth. We had a couple of callers that tried to, very disappointed in the weekend series in baseball. I was not expecting to talk, you know, 30, 40 minutes straight out of the chute, right out of the gate with Jack about baseball. Jack Hudden was in as well. And, man, you know, Auburn fans are just kind of spinning like a sprayed cockroach right now with their athletics. And, boy, oh, boy, it didn't get any better last night with a tough loss to Alabama State at home in a midweek game against a HBCU from the SWAC conference. Watched a good bit of that game. Got a lot of thoughts on that. We haven't had a chance to talk about Aiden Holloway going into the transfer portal. I'd like to get into that today. 8A was a lot of fun. We'll need to recap that and get your thoughts on that as well.
Oh, boy.
From the past weekend. I was over there last Saturday, and we got the Masters, and sports is just keeps on churning away this spring. We're getting close to the end of the school year, championship season, and a lot of sports will be happening, and in the smaller sports at least. And hopefully Auburn can get it together and have any kind of shot of getting to a regional. But I just don't see it right now. Lonnie from Lochapoca called it, said the season's over, Jacob. I don't. What are your thoughts?
Said the season is over for Auburn
finished.
Baseball. Well,
through, look, done, whatever you want to say.
I said going into the weekend that Auburn had to have a series win. They had to have it against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. They had their chances. They went into a rubber match on Sunday, had a lead on Sunday, and then blew it worse than Jordan Spieth at the Masters years ago. I mean, just completely fell apart and then got obliterated inside of Plainsman Park. Mm-hmm. By the way, who had the best crowd in the history of Plainsman Park? More people walked into that stadium this weekend than ever have before, and yet Auburn fell short again. They got beat by Tennessee in the series, who is a top five team in the country. I know that. I know. You don't have to tell me. But you got to start winning games. And then Auburn baseball turns around, as much as we love them, they turn around and drop another egg. And they fall to Alabama State in the midweek at home against, yeah, Alabama State. And I'm not trying to talk bad about them. I've been there. I've been able to cover that Alabama State team and call some of their games. That's a good team. But that's not a game you lose in the midweek, Uncle T-Bone. If you're not winning SEC games, you at least got to win your midweeks. And I know some guys didn't play. We'll get into all of that. But just flat out, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, those are the type of games and losses, I guess, on your resume when it comes down to if Auburn does get it together and get some series wins, and you're up for a regional that somebody – you don't ever want to give a committee any excuse not to take you. And Alabama State's not a very good baseball team record-wise this year, I understand. I watched a lot of that game last night on television that they were a favorite in the SWAC to do a little damage this year, but they just haven't kind of played up to their potential. Sounds a lot like Auburn. I kind of disagreed with you last weekend, and Jacob Hillman and I talked about this on Monday, that we felt like this is the weekend in Kentucky coming up where you must – begin to basically average out winning with the next six series, two out of three games, whether you sweep, whether you get two out of three, maybe you get a couple of sweeps if you're lucky against Missouri or even Ole Miss or Alabama or LSU, and then you know drop a series like 1-3 Kentucky. But if Auburn doesn't win this series this weekend, I fully am waving the white flag and it's over. And I'm only going to say that strictly because of what I saw last night. Ike Irish with an injury, apparently to his hand. Bobby Pierce with an injury. They didn't play. That definitely hinders the offense. Do they play? If they play and they're healthy, does Auburn win? Yeah, I mean, you got to shell Alabama State. You got to shell a team like that, like 11-5, man. But they're falling apart like a Chinese motorcycle over there with that baseball program.
Yeah, and it's tough to watch because the hype was there and the potential was there for this team. The talent's there. They just don't have all the pieces that they need, and it's starting to come through. You saw errors late last night that allowed Alabama State to get their final runs and win that ball game. And, yeah, the bats weren't able to get going, which is not normally an issue for this Auburn team. But as you mentioned, a couple of big ones were not in the rotation last night. Let's get to the phone lines. This guy's got something to say about it. 334-321-1390. Lonnie and Lochipo. Okay, your thoughts on Auburn baseball last night, my friend?
Good Lord, guys. What in the world is going on over there? I mean, that is just brutal.
I mean, if you can put it into words better than we can, I'm going to give you the floor, man, because you're one of those. I'm sure you can. You're a passionate Auburn fan.
I want to see if y'all have ever heard this song.
Is that the Alabama State fight song?
Oh yeah, baby!
Straight out
Alabama State.
Gosh, boy, that's painful.
I mean, look, man, I don't care. I don't care if half the starting team is injured. You can't lose to that team. I mean, and it begs the question in my mind. What else is going on? Like, is there problems in the locker room? Is there problems amongst coaches? Because those questions, those are normal questions to ask, not only when you have a start in the SEC like this. Granted, we have played a tough schedule, but when you go out and give up 36 runs in 3 days, and then you follow that up by losing to Alabama State. That I hadn't even thought about that really until last night. And then as soon as we lost that game, I was like, something's going on over there that may not be normal.
So you're thinking it's more than just the performance on the field. And you know, it very well could be. And
I hope not.
I hope not too.
I certainly hope not. But it begs the question, like, I think that's a reasonable, rational question to ask. And again, no, I'm not asking that anybody be fired, but good God. I mean, that is so weak. That is a big slab, like I like to say, a big fat slab of Java keep.
Served with two in barbecue sauce, Lonnie. And I think it's time to hit the panic button. I haven't heard of any kind of rumors or anything like that. Listen, and I don't really pay attention to that stuff anymore. I don't have any sources, and nor do I ever want to have any sources. I'm a fan just like you, here to talk sports, and on the surface of everything, just I'd like to say that this is baseball. You get in a slump, you can't get out of it. Things go bad. They go from bad to worse. They spin out of control. You start hitting the panic button. You try and do anything to make it stop, and it just doesn't. But I did not anticipate this happening with Auburn baseball this season. And look, and I'm going to say this too. There's going to be a lot of criticism for what's going on, especially with the pitching staff. This does not mean that I think Auburn should replace Butch Thompson, and no rational fan thinks that. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, but you know, he is such a solid coach and solid dude and solid man. I bet he is just racking his mind trying to figure this out, and it's probably making him maddening him far worse than it's maddening any of us.
I stand by what I said. That the season is over in April, no less. However, I will amend that statement if we sweep Kentucky this weekend. That is the only way that I think we have any kind of shot of getting this thing back on the right track is by a full-on sweep this weekend, which I put about a 1% chance in happening. Hope I'm wrong. You guys have a good day.
Thanks so much, Lonnie. Appreciate you calling in. 334-321-1390. And look, I don't think he's the only one that is fed up and frustrated with what's happening with Auburn baseball. And you know what? I feel like there's probably some carryover here from the basketball season that did not end in any way that we wanted it to and any of the fans wanted it to. And now they turn to baseball, something that I think we were all really excited about and had a lot of hype and hope for, and here we are, and it's just underperforming. And look, baseball is hard, and it's hard in the SEC, but that team that's coming in this weekend, that Kentucky Wildcats team, they're 11-1 in conference play. 11-1. They have 11 wins in the SEC.
That's 27-4 for the year.
Yeah, it's a sweep over Georgia. And one of their, you know, their only
swept
loss.
Alabama last weekend.
Their only loss in the SEC. Do you know who it is?
Vanderbilt.
It's Missouri.
Must have had an off day.
It was by a score of 2-1. That's the game they lost.
Was that one of the first series of the season?
Second SEC series of the year.
Where was that series played?
That was in Como.
I'm going to bet that it was pretty cold weekend that weekend in early March or late March, and the bats did not have the hats and weren't warmed up, and just one of those windy, cold days in Missouri that makes playing baseball miserable would be my guess. I mean, that's a great baseball team right now that's coming to town fresh off a sweep of Alabama, looking to sweep Auburn in their season away, too. They're hotter than a $2 pistol. I'm going to go over here and give you a quote real quick from Auburn Daily, the SI.com. This is Daniel Locke. I want to give him full credit for this.
Good friend of mine.
Yep. This is very well written. Let me find this quote real quick. He's talking about hitting the panic button. And he says a couple of things. Auburn had about as bad of a start to conference play as could be expected, but has consistently taken care of business against non-conference opponents this season. Tonight was a different story. I cannot agree with him more. He says the offense was stagnant. That's what's really bothering to me is I watched a good bit of that game, and it just seemed like Alabama State was playing with more intensity. They wanted that game.
Which is how all midweek games go, though, for a team like Auburn.
And when you're playing a smaller school in the state of Alabama, and they get a shot at playing Auburn or Alabama in anything, it's going to be their Super Bowl. And that's just when you got to go out there and crush them and remind them of who you are. This team played with intensity. The pitching, I wasn't overly impressed with Alabama State's pitching. I know a couple of guys were out, but how do you only get two runs off Alabama State ever in baseball? I mean, like I said, that's a team that you should shell. You know, it was just it was almost, I don't want to call it a hangover or that Auburn was punch drunk or concussed like a boxer from this beating that they took by Tennessee, but it almost started looking like that. And Locke goes on to say, and listen to this, man, the Tigers are only 4 games above 500 this season, hold the worst record in the SEC, and are in serious danger of not making it to the conference tournament. Not a regional. The conference tournament. Did anybody have that on their bingo card in 2024?
And I didn't. No, and if you did, you would have been called crazy at the time. You would have been called absolutely crazy. And it's just, it's tough to watch, and I don't think that this is an overreaction, and sometimes that's what happens, and sometimes we get, you know, callers that come in and get on to us about overreacting, but it is time to be upset. It's time to be worried. And you know, there's going to come a time in this season where the fans give up. They give in and they say, well, this team's not going anywhere.
You know, it wasn't last weekend, though.
No, it wasn't.
And you can't blame Auburn fans and say that they're crappy fans when they're out there giving the highest populated game and attended game in Auburn history in baseball, right? And they're showing up in droves. And I know a lot of it had to do with A-Day, but, you know, there was a lot of excitement on campus Saturday. I was there Friday night for the baseball game. It was a great atmosphere and a lot of fun, especially seeing Auburn win. I went to A-Day, and while I was there, people were talking about going to the baseball game, and they flooded over there. We went on home. But still, man, you know, the fans are there. The fans are supporting Auburn. The fans can taste it. The fans want it. You know, there's a reason why they're adding on to Plainsman Park over there, because the fans are going to support it. But you're right. You're right. A bad another series against Kentucky, and that white flag gets waved, buddy.
It shouldn't make you feel any better, but maybe it will for some Auburn fans. Speaking of that Kentucky team that comes in this weekend, you know what happened to them in the midweek? This was last night. They came to the state of Alabama, and they played a midweek at Samford, and they lost. They lost 9-7. They let Samford beat them last night, that Kentucky team did. A team that's 11-1 in conference play has single-digit losses on the year, and Samford got them. It was on the road, but they still got them. But yeah, what I'm saying is that doesn't impact Auburn. That doesn't affect Auburn. That has nothing to do with Auburn.
You know, maybe the loss of Ike Irish and Bobby Pierce and their injuries. I mean, we still don't know what's going on with that. Adam Cole over at OA News, he's going to tweet that Ike Irish and Bobby Pierce are both seeing a specialist tomorrow for hand injuries. Irish missed tonight's game, and Pierce has now missed three straight. I mean, what's up with that, man? And the club will go from there on their statuses. You know, they're going to have to get some they're going to have to get some offense back immediately, especially with that pitching staff and how it's just been getting rocked in SEC play.
We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390, off and running here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Jordan Hill will be joining us later on in the show from Dogs 247, and so many other great topics to get to. We'll continue on after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. This is the Wednesday edition of On the Line. And you mentioned it in the open, Uncle T-Bone. Just so many things going on. We've got the Part 3 contest on here in the studio at the Masters. And, man, that course is just beautiful. I got to see some of the Part 3 on Monday. Mm-hmm. And you've got all the biggest names out there right now. And it's a cool event because it's – yes, it is a contest, and they are keeping score, and somebody does win, but, man, the Par 3 ends up being a massive family day, and,
right,
you know, these guys bring their wives, and they bring their kids, and let the kids play, and it really is a cool event, and you get to see a different part of the Masters course before the real thing gets going tomorrow. And it looks like they're expecting some weather throughout tomorrow, and they're already talking about possibly playing near 36 holes on Friday if tomorrow mostly gets rained out for a lot of guys.
Yeah, it's going to be disappointing if they have to shut the course down tomorrow, because I love Masters Thursday. I get up early and start following, and we'll follow it until late Sunday evening. And I love the Par 3 tournament on Wednesdays. Just another fantastic tradition over there, and one of the most traditional sports venues in the country. You're very lucky to get over there Monday and see it. I've been over there three times, twice for practice rounds on either a Monday or Tuesday. And then one time I was there for a Friday during the tournament, which is it is so awesome.
Yeah, explain the difference of being there between a practice round and the tournament day. Because I have been very lucky to go twice, and both times were on a Monday practice round. And for my dad and I, if we do ever get to go back, that's what we were talking about on the way back, was now we got to go to a tournament day.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick story about being over there on a Friday afternoon. after having a few too many cold snacks with a couple of buddies of mine, and the difference between that and being at the practice round where players are loose and they're signing autographs and they're smiling and waving at people and just having a good old time. And we were there on a Friday afternoon when it's kind of getting down there towards making the cut. And David Toms comes around, and we're standing on 18 tee box right up there. And here comes the Tomcat with his with with what I would say is his caddy, who looked like he was the shark hunter actor from the movie Jaws, and would rip your head off in a heartbeat and stab you and leave you for dead if he could. I mean, this guy looked rough, Jason. I mean, he looked rough and he looked tough. And one of my, you know, I'm not saying anything. I'm just standing there. We're probably from about me to you from him, which isn't very far in the studio. And Tomcat's getting ready to pull out the driver or whatever he's going to hit, and he's got an LSU head cover.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he played golf down there in college. And one of my buddies goes, LSU, and he had an Auburn hat on. And this guy, his caddy, comes over there, basically goes face to face with him, and the only thing between them is the rope. Turns around and doesn't let him watch Tomcat hit the ball. And I was like, what? This is a little bit different than it is on a practice round. But I will say this. He striped one down the middle. We all started clapping. And the guy walked off, and the caddy turned around and said, y'all be careful, or something like that.
That's funny.
I was like, yes, sir.
That's funny.
We sure will. So it's much more serious, obviously, there, especially on a Friday when everyone's trying to make the cut.
Yeah, it's crunch time.
It is definitely crunch time. You can feel the course beginning to heat up. And by that, I mean you can feel the greens beginning to get slicker and slicker as the day goes on, especially if the weather is good and mm-hmm. there's plenty of sunshine and it starts warming up. And you can just feel the intensity and the buzz around the place beginning to grow later from Friday morning into the afternoon. I want to be there on a Sunday. I want to hear the Sunday roars.
Oh, man, I think that would be just phenomenal. And, you know, we were even hearing roars on Monday from 16 where people were hitting it in, you know, hitting it into the green and skipping it across the pond and all of that. And, I mean, you can literally hear you can hear the roar from 16 when you're standing on one tee box or 18 green. Like, you can hear it. And that was just on a Monday practice round for somebody skipping it onto the green. Imagine on a Sunday if you got to be there and Scotty Scheffler or Rory McIlroy or somebody like that steps up and puts it within about 3 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
And then what we talked about was, okay, that roar would be awesome, but then there's one extra level when this guy steps up. It's the Tiger roar, right? When he steps up and hits a good shot, the place goes insane. And there's been a lot of talk about him this week, of course, and what his body is going to be able to do. And there's been conflicting reports and kind of feedback on what Tiger looks like walking around this place. I'm just telling you, from what I saw, he looked rough. I mean, it was a struggle for him to walk up to 18 green, because that's the hole I got to see him play, tee to green on Monday. And the best way I could describe it, he looks like a robot. I mean, it's just one limb will move and then the other. And like, there's right. there's no flow to how he walks. And it's because of all the things he's gone through. And they were talking this morning. I was watching it on TV in my office as I was working. And they were talking about what I mentioned about if they do have to end up playing 36 holes or more than 18 on Friday. I mean, can he go through that type of pain and just wear and tear on his body? I just don't know if he can.
You know, after what I saw from him in 2019, I'll never underestimate that man. You know, he's one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. It's like underestimating Nick Saban in football coaching in college, right? I mean, okay, not going to do it. You know, there's just some people out there that have the tenacity in their competitive spirit that you can never, and I mean ever, count them out. Jack Nicklaus was obviously one of those people. But that is not the golf course to have any kind of injury to have to walk around. People don't realize this unless you've been over there. It will wear you out.
I'm still tired.
You're still tired. I took my son over there on a practice round. We got up very early on a Tuesday morning. This was a few years ago. I'm talking about well before the sunrise. Get over there right when the gates open or just after. You know, he was in second or third grade then. Walked around and, you know, an hour and a half in, he's about had enough.
Oh.
And I rallied him and we got some autographs and some of the players were super nice to him and got him excited. That drive home, was brutal.
Oh, it's miserable.
So could you imagine having to competitively play a round of your life for 4 days and walk that course, which is what I call the mini Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, it's insane. And they don't let kids sit. They don't let anybody sit on the golf course. If you're on the course and they see somebody sitting to watch, they make you stand up. You have to go off the course to sit down somewhere. So, unless you're in the grandstands or you have one of your chairs.
That's what I like to do. I like to get over there by about number 12. There's a nice little snack bar over there, and I just sit and drink beer all day.
Love it. Love it. Masters Week. It's one of the best on the sports year. When we come back, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will join us. We'll get all sorts of updates from Athens when we come back.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7. And glad to get to the phone lines as we're joined by our weekly Wednesday guest from Athens, Georgia. It is Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Jordan, great to hear from you, man. I got to start. Are you a golf guy? Are you enjoying this week like the rest of us are?
Hey, I got to admit, Jacob, I'm actually out on the golf course right now as we're talking. So, yeah, we're getting ready for Augusta. Not quite playing a course quite as nice as Augusta National, but we're having a nice day. And, yeah, I mean, this is a perfect time of year.
Man, I hate that you're working so hard today. I hate that we had to take you out of the office to join us on the phone lines for a few minutes.
You know, I don't break a sweat often when I'm working, so it's nice to maybe do that every now and then, hacking up some balls.
Well, we appreciate you being with us, and we won't keep you super long. Let you get back out there and try to hit them around a little bit. But are you a Masters guy taking in the tournament this week and with the par three going on right now, and then, of course, the tournament starting tomorrow?
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited and hoping they get that first round in on Thursday. The last I saw, it looks like the weather's going to be a little bit rough. But, yeah, I mean, being from Georgia, you know, everybody gets so excited this time of year, and really jealous. Some of the other people on the Georgia beat have gotten a chance to go out and check out Augusta. I haven't had that chance yet, but I think I need to make some friends around maybe Georgia football or something. Maybe somebody can get me on in the next few years.
That's right. Well, as we bring you on, talking about all things Georgia athletics over in Athens, and it's a busy time with spring practice wrapping up. G-Day coming up this Saturday, Jordan. What can you tell us about the expectations around the spring game coming up this weekend?
It's going to be really interesting, and we were actually talking about this on our podcast on Tuesday. You know, it'll be a better feel for what this offense is going to look like compared to the defense, because defense is going to be missing a couple of key guys, Smile Munden, inside linebacker, and safety Malachi Starks. You know, those guys are going to be watching from the sidelines. So, you know, I'm sure Georgia fans are excited to see some of the up-and-comers, but if the defense gives up some plays, I think they need to kind of understand that they're not at a full go with who's available. So, yeah, a lot of excitement to see some of the guys that have drawn buzz over the course of the spring. Colby Young, a transfer from Miami, wide receiver. Looking at Roger Robinson, one of the up-and-coming running backs who's had a really good spring. I think there's a lot of excitement. I think we've heard a lot of good things about this offense, especially with Carson Beck coming back for another year. So people should be excited to see what this offense can do and maybe – grade the defense on the curve a little bit, given some of the guys they're going to be watching from the sideline.
Hey, Jordan, this is T-Bone. Hope you've been doing well, buddy. I was at the Auburn A-Day this weekend. They had a format where the offense spotted – it was basically offense first defense. Defense was given 27 points, and they went from there. What will the format be for the G-Day game? Will it be like that? Will it be more of a controlled scrimmage, team splitting into two? How does that normally work with Kirby Smart?
Yes, typically first-team offense versus second-team, or first-team defense, I should say, and having those as two different teams. And usually it's 15-minute quarters running clock. It's pretty standard, nothing too crazy. I do appreciate Auburn kind of mixing things up a little, spotting the defense and points like they do. But, yeah, it's going to be pretty standard, and it's one of those things, for the most part, you're looking to see who can put an exclamation mark on the spring. You know, being able to end the 15th of 15 practices on a high note, especially if it's guys that we've heard about. But, yeah, it's a pretty standard format that Georgia rolls with. Nothing too crazy as far as how the scrimmage is going to look.
Is there expected to be any crazy sort of turnout this weekend? I know it's a spring game, and you can't take a ton from it, and the fans want to get in there and see what's going on. But any expected crazy turnout from the Dawgs fans?
I don't think so. You know, the very first year Kirby was there, they made a big deal of 93K Day and packing Stanford, which they did. It was pretty wild to see in action. But, no, I think it won't be anything too crazy. And Georgia's actually working on some stadium renovations. So even if a ton of people wanted to come, you know, I think there is a restriction on how many tickets they're allowing for this scrimmage. So not expecting anything too crazy. And as we sort of started this call with, hey, it's Masters Saturday. I don't know how many dads are going to get dragged out there.
Yeah, good point.
That's a great point.
There will be plenty, but I'd say that it's not going to be anything crazy as far as the turnout.
Yeah, you mentioned Roderick Robinson. He's the 240-pound sophomore running back from San Diego, California, that people have been talking about. Apparently he has like some type of negative body fat on him. It's just kind of a complete physical freak. But there's another running back over there who's the Florida transfer and Trevor Etienne, who got in a little trouble a couple of weeks ago. What's his status discipline-wise for this game and moving forward?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Trevor doesn't play on Saturday. Going back to last year, Ra-Ra Thomas had been arrested back in January, wound up not playing in G-Day. So we don't know for sure, and Kirby Smart always plays those kind of close to the vest. But we know that, you know, more than likely, I expect he won't play in the season opener. It's harder to say for this scrimmage, but, you know, Kirby made it a point to say that he was disappointed in the decision, but, you know, that this mistake wasn't going to define Trevor. And I think, you know, based on what we can tell about him and just what he has brought as a new member of the team, what some of his teammates have said, I think he's going to grow from this mistake, and I think he's going to be better for it by the time it's all said and done.
Jordan Hill of Dawgs 247 joining us here on the phone lines on ESPN 106.7. With the spring game being this Saturday, spring practice wrapping up for Georgia, I know you probably don't know 100% the guys that will be leaving or trying to come after or come in, I guess, but any sort of insight that you do have and maybe something that you are looking at and a couple of guys on the radar that could be heading out of Athens and possibly big names?
On the football side?
Yeah, on the football side, yep.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. You know, there's a few guys that you can kind of look at as obvious candidates, guys that are farther down on the depth chart, but I think we'll get a really good feel. And I don't think it was by coincidence that Georgia's spring game is on Saturday, and then on Tuesday the portal completely opens. So, yeah, not sure yet. There's not been anyone who's come out and declared that, you know, they intend to do that. But there's a few obvious names once you follow the team, once you really sort of understand how the depth chart looks, that I would expect to go in. And it's one of those things, too, I will give Georgia a lot of credit. The last few years, you go through, and the end of spring, you say, okay, I probably have 10 names of guys that I think could go in the portal. And then it's usually like three or four. They usually don't lose a lot of guys coming out of spring. So I don't think they'll come out unscathed, but I don't think they'll be anything too crazy.
Dawgs baseball bumping on along, Jordan. Will, looks like that they're going to host Missouri this weekend. Struggled a little bit against Mississippi State, but have a pretty decent record. What's going on with the baseball team, and are they anticipating trying to make a regional this season?
Yeah, you know, I don't really cover the baseball team, but just to see what they've done, I mean, Charlie Condon has been tearing it up, and I think if they can get in a good position when it comes to pitching and just doing that consistently, I think that that would go a long ways. But yeah, they were coming off a really weird weekend. That Mississippi State game at one point, I think it was the Saturday night game, there was a bunch of ejections. The game got pushed back like 40 minutes. So I think that they've started pleasantly well in SEC play. I think if they can get some more consistent pitching, matching it with the way they've been hitting the ball, they'll be in really good shape.
Jordan, we'll ask one more thing, and we'll let you get out of here since you are out there on the golf course. The NFL draft coming up at the end of this month. We're a couple of weeks away from that. As we get closer, excited to really dive deep into all the guys that are expected to be drafted and drafted pretty high coming out of Athens. But Kirby Smart and Georgia, they've got another stacked class once again going to the NFL draft coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to see just really, I would say more so the first couple rounds for the Georgia guys, you know, where they go. I think that Brock Bowers is pretty much a lock to be a first-round pick. I think it's very likely Amarius Mims is as well. And you got a couple other guys kind of nipping on the heels of maybe being in the first round. Ladd McConkey, I would not be surprised if someone goes up there at the end of that first round and gets him. Kamari Laster, you know, I'm not sure if Georgia's going to wind up having double-digit guys drafted, which they've done over the last few years. But it's a really solid draft class. It's another one that's really strong at the top. It's definitely going to make for a very interesting few days, seeing where these guys go and seeing what they can do as pros.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, man, we appreciate you taking time each and every week, but especially today out of the office, out on the golf course, man. Plug it off for people that are looking to go and get some more updates on Georgia athletics.
Definitely, dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at Dogs247. And, yeah, getting ready for G-Day, going to be a big day on Saturday, continuing to cover the portal for football, the portal for college men's basketball, and getting ready for the rest of the offseason. I know it's crazy. I know it's still just April. We're going to turn around and be in Dallas and media days, and the season will be here before you know it.
Man, we're excited about it here in Auburn, and I know they are in Athens as well. Man, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. And then hit them well out there, okay?
I'm going to do my best, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us out on the golf course. Doesn't sound like a too bad of a Wednesday for him, Uncle T-Bone. Wish we could be out on the golf course
media
today.
Guys, man, y'all have it made. I got to go in and I got to work all day, come in and go back to work, and y'all are just out there playing golf and going to the Masters.
Yeah, okay.
Must be nice.
Yeah, you got me on that one. I was going to say, I haven't been playing golf during the week, but yeah, I did go to the Masters on Monday. So that was the first day off in a long time, and that was a good reason. The boss man said, yeah, can't keep a man away from the Masters, so he was allowed to give that one off. But we appreciate Jordan joining us, and tons of things coming out of Athens, and yeah, their spring game coming up. We have a ton of other spring games coming up this weekend. And then what everybody's looking at, next Tuesday, April 16th, you've got the portal wide open once again for college football. Big names are in there already that Auburn is going after. And I think Jordan's right when it comes to Georgia in particular. You don't normally see them lose a whole lot of guys after spring. And I think that's because you have a coaching staff that is set. And you've got a team that is already pretty locked in. Yeah. And when they recruit guys, they stay there. And then they go to the league. And when they go in and get guys through the portal, they go and get ones that are going to hang around. They're not bringing them in by the masses and losing them by the masses in Athens right now.
No, I mean, their program is in such amazing shape that I think that when the portal opens in a few days after their G-Day game, the thing that they'd be most concerned about is just some of that 4 or 5-star talent that's way down there on the depth chart saying, you know what, I need to go look around and find me a new place to play, and kind of disrupting their practice roster or backup roster. I mean, you know, that's a program that's as in good a shape as anybody in college football. If a ridiculously big name pops into the portal that they think they can cherry pick and would put them over the top for not just competing for a national championship but actually winning it, you could see them going into the portal and snagging somebody. But no, there's no wholesale portal exchange happening in Athens, Georgia right now.
Well, that's the portal. And on the other side, when it comes to recruiting, Auburn has some big-time recruiting news on the football side of things. Got a huge commitment earlier today. We'll talk about that when we come back and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Jordan Hill joining us from Dogs 247. Took some time off the course to talk a little Georgia athletics, and you can find all of his written work at dogs247.com. On the Auburn side of things, no transfer portal stuff right now, but high school recruiting, something that hasn't happened in a long time. I saw people asking, I didn't know we could recruit offensive linemen. I didn't think offensive tackles came to Auburn. Well, this guy is coming. He's 6'5". He's 285. He's a big man, and he's down in a spot where Auburn has never been successful. They go down and get Carday Smith, the offensive tackle from Mobile, Alabama, who grew up an Auburn fan. Yes, that helps, but it still is a big deal that the Tigers and Hugh Freeze go down to Mobile and they get the 4-star offensive tackle. who is, I mean, he's just going to be a really, really good player in the class of 2025. He came for some camps at Auburn. That's where he got his offer. They said he was just beating up on everybody. And he's a really good player. And for a four-star offensive tackle, I mean, it's rare to see five stars at that position. Mm-hmm. And so for him to be as good as he is and commit to Auburn and love Auburn as much as he does, what a big-time win this is for Hugh Freeze and this entire coaching staff once again.
Yeah, Cardae Smith. Rivals has him 6'5", 300, Williamson High, Mobile, Alabama. That's a hotbed of recruiting in the entire nation, the Mobile, Baldwin County areas. I'm going to show my age here, Jacob, and say I am old enough to remember when Auburn did have a lot of success in Mobile recruiting. That was a long time ago.
I was about to say it's been a long time ago.
I mean, it really has. It's been an emphasis for this staff to get going down there, and you must get going down there. Alabama has made a championship living of recruiting Mobile, and it's probably one of their top territories in the entire country to recruit. Recruiting apparatus take a massive budget down there, and they try and dominate down there. LSU's always been a heavy recruiter, so is FSU of that area. So, but like I said, Auburn has made some hay down there in the past, and when they do make hay in Mobile, they normally have pretty solid teams not long after that. So, big get for Auburn. You know, Florida, Florida State, you know, South Carolina, Tennessee, A&M, these are the type teams, Miami, that were after Cardae. He is our fourth offensive lineman commitment so far. Tay Buster from Kannapolis, North Carolina, a three-star according to Rivals. And then you got Spencer Dallin out of Athens, Alabama. Nice to see some in-state guys on the offensive line where Alabama's really beat up on Auburn over the last few years, and Tavarius Dice. I don't think Auburn's done recruiting the offensive line just yet. This moves up Auburn in the Rivals recruiting rankings, and you can pick whatever site you like. I've always just kind of liked Rivals. You know, I can't even really tell you why, but so far in 2025, Auburn ranked now seventh in the country. And listen, making momentum, you know, that's not going to stop other teams from recruiting anybody on Auburn's commitment list and not trying to disrupt their momentum with NIL offers that might be better. Auburn's doing the same thing. The kid who has committed to Alabama, then committed to Auburn, then committed back to Alabama, Antonio Coleman, another player from down in Saraland, a defensive lineman. Auburn had him on campus last week. Okay, so, you know, the hay is not in the barn, but it is very, very important in high school recruiting to get momentum early and maintain momentum. The teams that are in the top 10 now, for the most part, have a higher percentage, obviously, than if you were down in the Brian Harsin numbers at like 40 right now.
Mm, well, don't worry. Brian Harsin's out lifting weights somewhere. And
thank God.
With Cardae Smith, here's a quote. Here's one of his many quotes. He said, "I'm very excited. We've got plans to get that national championship. I'm coming. You're getting a dog." That's what Cardae Smith said. He said the early offer from Jake Thornton, the offensive line coach, was a big deal. He said Hugh Freeze being very involved in his recruitment was also a really big deal. And the home family atmosphere, something that we've always heard recruits talk about Auburn, has played a huge factor in this. And you were correct that Auburn has now four commitments for the 2025 class on the offensive line. And out of three and four stars, I mean, that's a great start, and they're really good players. And you have the ability to, and you hope that Auburn has the ability to develop those guys and make them better each and every day and year after year. And then you can get the even bigger guys. And you come in, and it's just nice to have Auburn recruiting offensive linemen and recruiting legit offensive linemen and not making other players, making defensive tackles go and play guard. I mean, it's ridiculous that Auburn has done that in the past because they were so bad at offensive line recruiting. Gus Malzahn didn't do it. Brian Harsin didn't recruit anybody. And here we are, Hugh Freeze and this staff, now with Jake Thornton, are having to come in guns a-blazing and try to get anybody they can get their hands on.
I've never been a real big fan of trying to take a defensive lineman in high school and make him into an offensive lineman in college. I'm sure there's some success stories behind it. But I want guys on my offensive line who've been playing offensive line since like the seventh and eighth grade. And it says if you got to take a defensive lineman to become a starter on your offensive line, it means A, your offensive line is pretty weak at some position or many, and B, that player may not have been very good as a defensive lineman that you recruited anyway. So it's just not a good look, in my opinion. Now, there are those stories, especially with Tommy Tuberville. I'm sure Don Dunn, who will be on after us, Coach Dunn can tell you about taking, Carlos Dansby, who was a wide receiver in high school, and making him into an NFL all-pro defensive lineman or linebacker. But, look. If someone's playing offensive line in high school, I think they got a better chance of being a successful college offensive lineman than somebody who's never played offensive line.
What a crazy thought that is.
I mean, call me crazy.
Well, Auburn picks up Cardae Smith, a huge, huge offensive line commit out of Mobile. He'll be in the 2025 class, the fourth offensive lineman committed to the Tigers. Coming up in hour number two, we've got some basketball news to talk about. We've got the apparel news to talk about and so much more. And we'd love for you to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He is Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goins with you on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today. You'll find that at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. We talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, got some updates out of Athens. We also talked some Masters. We talked a lot of Auburn baseball in hour number one, coming off the disappointing performance from last night against Alabama State. I'm sure there are more thoughts and comments about that as well. So it was really a good first hour. We also talked about Cardae Smith, the Auburn offensive tackle commit that committed earlier today. And so that was all in hour number one. Phone lines are wide open here in hour number two. We'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind in the sports world, we would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. The news that went final today, it's been in the works since Sunday night, and it finally happened. It's crazy, it's weird, but it's huge. Uncle T-Bone, John Calipari, is now the official head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks basketball program. It really is kind of weird, and I have not fully accepted it yet.
I tell you what, there's so much going on out there in the sports world, I just absolutely don't forgotten about that. It's like, well, that's yesterday's news. He's at Arkansas, and it's a massive deal. It's huge news. It's a great get for Arkansas.
5 years, $7 million a year, $1 million signing bonus. He's got all sorts of incentives based off of NCAA tournament appearances. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, he'll do well up there. There's no question about it. They're going to put a pile of money behind him to get some of the top talent in the country like he's gotten at Kentucky. Look, it's a home run hire for Arkansas. When Musselman left to go to USC, no one on earth anticipated that Calipari would be their next head coach. Will it equal a national championship? I don't know. I mean, I'd probably bet against that. I mean, he wasn't even winning national championships at Kentucky. That's just how hard it is right now to get a national championship. I mean, the competition, especially in the SEC, is maybe at the highest it's ever been in basketball. So, you know, I mean, great hire, awesome move. Nobody saw it coming. It came out of left field. Who's going to replace him at Kentucky? There's a lot of names out there. Scott Drew continues to be the one of the top names. I think the guy from BYU is someone that people shouldn't take their eye off of. Mark Pope, he played at Kentucky. They'll be fine. You know, Big Blue basketball is going to be okay. But, well, it just goes to show, I think, a couple of things that John Calipari was about fed up with being the head coach at Kentucky, and just about everybody other than Mitch Barnhart, the AD, was about fed up with him being the head coach at Kentucky.
And all of that is true. And that's sort of what I was saying yesterday is, look, Kentucky dodged a major bullet here. They didn't have to fire him. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to pay a $30 million plus buyout. They didn't have to go through that whole process, right? And I really do think the fan base, most of the fans, wanted this to happen. Now, are they sad? Are they sad that he left? Yeah, probably, because he's been there for 15 years. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody understood that it was time to move on. And that's what Calipari said in his video yesterday that he released, was, we believe that Kentucky fans need to hear a different voice. They need to see a different guy. And this was basically a mutual parting of ways.
Right.
And now Kentucky has all this money. They continue to make their offer even bigger on the back end, and it's not being reported, but it's being rumored around. I mean, they're in double digits on what they're wanting to pay people per year to come in and be the head coach. And a couple of people have turned it down, supposedly.
Yeah, Dan allegedly.
Hurley. Yeah, Dan Hurley at UConn, Nate Oates at Alabama, right? Scott Drew seems to be the hot name today. But money talks, man. Money absolutely talks. And I talked about this with Daryl yesterday. I think that Kentucky is the bigger winner here. I really, really do. I think Kentucky is making out on the better side of this deal, because now they have all this money. They mm-hmm. can go get whoever they want, and now they get a fresh start.
You got to get somebody in there a little bit quicker than normal. Today's NIL and transfer portal world has already hurt Kentucky. About an hour ago over here at On3 site for Kentucky, five-star center Jaden Quaintance request NLI release from Kentucky. You can't mess around here and drag this on for a couple of weeks and watch your roster get plundered and pilfered, probably by John Calipari. They already lost Dillingham. He's going to allegedly go to the pros. Not a shocking story there, but, you know, I think I'm with you that Kentucky may have come out on the good here. I am with you that Kentucky fans are sad to see Calipari go for a couple reasons. A, I mean, whenever you lose a coach, it means you just weren't as successful for the most part than you should have been. I mean, 9 times out of 10, sometimes you get that championship and then they bolt for a bigger job. Thanks, coach. We'll try and go get another one without you. But I think they're pretty – I mean, if I was a Kentucky fan, I don't mind him leaving and walking out that door, but I don't like him going to Arkansas.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm absolutely with you on that.
You're telling me you're going to Arkansas from Kentucky? I mean, that's like when Bill Curry went from Alabama to Kentucky in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a step back. That's basically saying, I want the heck out of here.
Which I think he probably did.
And y'all are crazy, and there's something wrong with you, and you know – Calipari can come across, though, as very condescending when, and we talked about this Monday, I believe, or it might have been last Friday, when, remember the speech he gave to everybody after he came down here and beat Auburn about how great he was and how many people he's put into the NBA, and I'm going to the NBA All-Star game, and I'm going to see my boys, and basically I am Kentucky basketball. And you fans are not, and I know better. And then you get bounced in the first round like you did last year against St. Peter's to Oakland. That's not even in California, right? And so, you know, I think it was just finally everyone saying, minus the AD, who was doing everything he could do to keep him, because who wants to lose a possible legend as an AD.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got a national championship. He's an amazing coach, a dynamic personality, and one of the people that's most famous in college basketball right now, even though they haven't had the success that that type of fame should bring in the last couple of years there at Kentucky. But him going to Arkansas, that'd leave a sour taste in my mouth.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. What if Bruce Pearl left for Kentucky? Now, that's historically, that's a step up.
I'd be a little heartbroken.
And I don't think that's – look.
But I wouldn't blame him. I mean, dude, that's Kentucky basketball, man. That's like the top of the world.
Mm-hmm. That is a step up.
There's like five schools that maybe six if he went to that would – it wouldn't bother me one bit. North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, maybe UCLA. Maybe Arizona. That's about it. I mean, even Indiana right now is taking such a step back. It's not near the prestigious a job as it once was, although that is his dream job. So if he did, you know, he said that in the past. So if he did go, I wouldn't have a bitter taste in my mouth. But, dude, if Bruce Pearl went to, okay, I'll put it to you like this. What if Bruce Pearl just set up and said, I'm going to South Carolina?
Yeah, that's kind of
that's the way I would look at it as a Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
No, that ain't gonna work.
I think Auburn fans would be upset. They would really question why. Because those two situations are not the same, right? The Calipari situation at Kentucky and the Bruce Pearl situation at Auburn. But
I didn't know there was a situation. What if there was a situation?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just saying in the relationship between the coach, the school, and the fan base, that kind of Bermuda Triangle thing that's going on. Because at Kentucky, Calipari wasn't having a great relationship with most of the folks at Kentucky. Yeah, the AD liked him or whatever, but the fan base was also unhappy with the AD and the athletic department, and the fan base was also upset with John Calipari because the results were not there. It made sense for him to leave. In Auburn, and Bruce Pearl, most of the fans still love him. They're upset, but they still love him. And
every fan does.
And he still loves Auburn. And Auburn still loves him. But if the trend continues of what's been happening over the last 4 years, 5 years, since the Final Four, right? If that trend continues, could you get to that point with Bruce Pearl at Auburn like we just saw with John Calipari at Kentucky? Because we're only 5 years away from that exact time frame. Calipari's been at Kentucky for 15 years. Bruce Pearl just got done with his 10th year at Auburn, which is a crazy thing to think
about.
That's
amazing, because I can remember like yesterday when he was hired. Time's just accelerating on some type of vortex that I can't explain.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, what happens if we get to that point with the Auburn fan base where it's like, man, coach, we love you and you've been great here, but the results haven't been
there.
How
old is John Calipari right now?
That is a good question. I can tell you in just a second. Why?
You know, Bruce Pearl will be nearly 70 in 5 years.
Calipari's 65.
Okay. And Bruce Pearl is how old? 64.
He is 64, yep.
Okay. So you're looking at someone who's put 15 years in, but is almost about to be 70 years old. And I'm not trying to be an ageist here by any means. Anybody, you know, Nick Saban, 72, he could still easily coach football if he wanted to. So people are in better shape than they once were at older ages in this country. And if you choose to remain so, unless there's just some type of catastrophic health issue with you, he can coach as long as he stays in really good physical shape, because – you know, mentally he's going to be there basketball-wise because he's such a good coach. I'm just saying that eventually, though, in 5 years, whether we like it or not, Coach Pearl will be approaching 70, and, you know, that's a time for a lot of people in this world to definitely begin to slow down. Look at what just happened with Alabama and Nick Saban. So, you know, I think it's a little bit different situation 5 years from now. Also, it's a little bit different situation where Kentucky basketball has always been pretty much in what Bruce Pearl inherited 10 years ago, which was the absolute most dumpster of dumpster fires possibly in the history of SEC basketball. I mean, Auburn basketball wasn't even a joke. It was just a whipping boy. It was brutal. It was Tony Barbrutal.
Okay? So, yeah, it's a different situation. I think most Auburn fans right now would say, oh, Jacob, Uncle Tay, where we were, Bruce Pearl Hayden coach forever, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm fine with that. But, you know, I think realistically, yeah, you got about five more years with Bruce Pearl, so you better start preparing for life without that, but for different circumstances.
That's fair, and I think that's totally understandable. And it just kind of, you know, throw a different situations out there. And some of those names that have been popping up for the Kentucky job, Nate Oates, he's 49. Mm-hmm. Scott Drew, he's 53.
Yep.
Like, these guys aren't considered young. I mean, they're
How old's Danny Hurley? He can't be, but probably in his early 50s.
I don't know. I mean, I would say he's younger than that, I would think.
God, that guy's such a good coach.
I'm going to look it up right now. He's 51.
So any of these names that are being thrown down, to jump in real quick, sorry to interrupt, I think any of them are a possibility until it's official that they're not.
I agree with that.
And official that they're not is not issuing any kind of statement. It's saying, I just love being where I am. Roll Tide or War Eagle. And that includes Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. The Big Blue comes a-knocking, you're going to do some talking or at least some listening. So until they say, this man, lead pipe, lock, and stock is the next coach at Kentucky, I would consider any option viable.
Because as I said earlier, Kentucky, as far as I've heard, continues to raise the bar. They continue to raise that number and go up and up and up until they can find the guy that will truly go and leave their current job and go to Kentucky. And I think Bruce Pearl is on that list somewhere, but I don't think he's in the top three. Maybe top five, but I don't think he's in the top three. And it's the other guys that we've talked about. Dan Hurley, Nate Oates, Scott Drew. There's some other names floating around as well that they could go get. And we've had this discussion already last week when the news started to trickle out that Calipari was interviewing, right? Nate Oates is one of the hottest coaches in the country right now. And he released that statement. I'm with you. I don't think it means a whole lot until the next coach is officially hired at Kentucky, because why would you not leave Alabama to go to Kentucky? If they're bringing you that offer of, let's just say, $12 million a year, which is insane for a college basketball coach. Calipari just signed a $7 million a year contract at Arkansas. If you're Nate Oates, I understand wanting to finish what you built, and you just came off a Final Four, and you feel like you can get back there and win a national championship. But, man, Kentucky's going to give you everything. And they're also going to give you a fan base that's going to buy in 100%, not just when you're good.
Whether you're going to like what I'm going to say or not, if you're listening out there, Auburn and Alabama fans, as great as the programs have been for both of those schools for the last 5 years, you're not Kentucky. And when you get to a Final Four like Auburn did in 19, or like Alabama just did this season, you're a mid-major in the eyes of Kentucky and Kansas. You better take care of business, because Auburn's proven they could get there. They couldn't finish the job. It's been 5 years now since we've gotten back, or since we've been. And Auburn fans are hungry for it. Just because Alabama got there this season, and even if everybody returned, doesn't necessarily mean they'd get back next season. There's more circumstances out there, especially for a school like Auburn or Alabama that doesn't have the tradition of national championships in basketball like Kentucky, Duke, or North Carolina does. There's more circumstances for those type schools to never get back to a Final Four than to get there again. That's why you go to Kentucky. They're going to pay you more than they pay Kalen DeBoer to coach football at Alabama. That's big time, baby. That's it.
Because that's what they do. That's what Kentucky does. John Calipari said it. Mark Stoops knows it. That's what Kentucky does. They are a basketball school.
Well, they gave Adolph Rupp at the end of the year, the old story, a Cadillac, and they gave Coach Bryant, who's the head football coach then, a watch. He said, maybe I'll take it to Maryland and move on with my life.
And that's why I think Kentucky is going to do everything they can to go and find the next big-time coach. And they absolutely should. They've got the money. They've got the resources. They've got the fans. Now they're going to go and try to find their next guy. 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you on this Wednesday afternoon. Give us a call. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about here on the Wednesday edition of the show? Some Auburn basketball transfer portal news we got to talk about when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, let's talk a little Auburn basketball news, something that Uncle T-Bone and I have not been able to talk about together in the studio on the show, and the fact that Auburn now has three guards in the transfer portal, KD Johnson, Trey Donaldson, and as of this week, Aiden Holloway, the five-star freshman who came in. I had a good conversation about this yesterday, Uncle T-Bone, and I'm excited for us to have a little conversation about it here. The expectations for this guy were just through the roof. I mean, everybody, ourselves included, expected him to just be great. And I still think he has the potential to be great. He just didn't live up. Not only did he not live up to the expectations, but he just didn't have a good year. He didn't pan out. And I'm not saying he's a bust, but this year was not good. And he's officially in the transfer portal, and I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back either. It's a huge disappointment for the program and for all the fans of the program. We've been pretty tough on Aiden Holloway on this show. I wish him nothing but the best. But listen, there was a lot of hype around this kid. I don't think that that's some type of unrealistic expectation from the fans. Look, if the recruiting services are going to shove it down our throats that this guy's a five-star and a stud and we're going to buy into it and buy the subscriptions and be part of it, don't expect fans not to have some type of expectation that he's going to be very solid at the least for this program. So don't blame the fans here, folks, is what I'm trying to say. He didn't live up to the hype for whatever reason. Maybe his mental, possibly his physical, whatever. But I'm going to say this, Jacob. I would rather have Trey Donaldson back than Aiden Holloway.
I agree with that.
And I've had this conversation with an insider over there that's a friend of mine who disagrees. He says the upside on Holloway is far greater than the upside on Donaldson. I'm not so sure about that, but okay, I'll take your word for it. He knows more about basketball than I do. But Auburn has just spent 2 years of investing its time and money and resources into Trey Donaldson, and it is clear to anybody who has any sense and watches basketball, especially Auburn basketball, especially as much as we do, that Trey Donaldson from day one at Auburn has progressed greatly in year two. And I think that he's the type of team player, competitor, and gritty player that could progress even further and by his senior year be exceptional at Auburn. Aiden Holloway, I cannot believe he can't look at that situation and say, this coaching staff has progressed Trey Donaldson this far. I have all this upside. I should stay. Let's see how far I can get.
Let's get to the phone lines. I'm curious what this guy has to say. 334-321-1390. Dak in Columbus, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. What's up?
Hey, man. I agree totally that I would rather have Trey Donaldson than Holloway. I think one of the things that stands out to me of the two is Donaldson has some mental toughness. I don't think Holloway has near as much mental toughness. And I think that's one of the things that affected him since he's been at Auburn, because he's not gotten any better. And
he got worse. You
know, yeah, I mean, Coach, he got worse. And it ain't like Coach Pearl did not give him more than one chance for the starting position. And each time he did it, what happened?
You got yanked.
He yanked him. And every time he was on the big stage, he failed. And look, he's young. He can get better. It's not like he can't reach it. But if I had my choice of the two, absolutely, Trey Donaldson, I would rather have.
Here's what I don't like about it, Dak. More than anything for Aiden Holloway himself as a young man, he has all the right in today's world to go out into the NIL and test those waters, see if he can make a bunch of money. Fine. Have at it. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. After 1 year of a disappointing start to your college career over your five-star ranking, you're bouncing, which leads me to believe you might bounce for a while. But if he leaves right now All he is doing is proving every hater and everybody who doubted him, the doubters out there, saying that he's soft, can't play with the big boys, isn't strong enough, doesn't have the mental toughness. Just a big bust, and he will always forever be a bust at Auburn if he leaves right now. Sorry to say it, it's just a fact.
That's right. And, guys, and you know this too, and I know these recruiting magazines and all this top 12 and top 10 and five-star, four-star. Let me tell you something. I learned this a long time ago. I take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
When I played at Auburn, I can't tell you, 2 years in a row, Auburn signed two All-American wide receivers, four top 12 receivers in the state out of Georgia and Alabama. 2 years in a row now, and not a one of them ever played wide receiver.
Mm.
So just because they are a top-rated this or that does not mean nothing, because the people that are rating those guys a lot of times are the local newspapers in that county is what gets it started. We all know that.
Yep.
And it gets them a name. And, you just got to take – with me, I got to see it personally. I got to see how they run, how they catch, how they do the little things. I don't take too much into what I see in magazines.
Well, hey, Dak, real
I'm
quick.
I'm with you on that, Dak.
Before we let you go, what about Cam Coleman in a five-star ranking?
That sucker's the real deal.
Appreciate the call, Dak. It's great to hear from you, man. We'll talk some more about that. I've got some things to say on this conversation as well. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390. Join us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line after this.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone with you as it's starting to get a little darker outside and already starting to rain in the Auburn Opelika area. Have not looked at the latest radar and hourly weather, but I recommend that you do and try to make sure you're good to go for the weather moving in this evening. Hey, in case you haven't heard, this Friday, this week, in 3 days, 2 days, however you want to count that, Friday, April 12th, On the Line and The Drive, we're going to be live on location again, because that's what we do. We're going to be at Baumhauer's this Friday on April 12th from 2 to 6 with On the Line and The Drive at Baumhauer's on Bent Creek Road in Auburn for Masters Friday. This is all brought to you by our good friends over at SensiGreen. For air that's cool and clean, you better call SensiGreen. And bring your green jackets for Masters Friday on the new covered patio at Baumhauer's. With over 70 televisions, there will be plenty of space to watch all the excitement with us over in Augusta for the Masters. There will be Masters drink and food specials. Me and Uncle T-Bone will be there live on the air from 2 to 4. Bill and Dan from 4 to 6. So come out and join us as we'll have all the drama unfolding at Baumhauer's for the Masters this coming Friday at Baumhauer's on Bent Creek Drive in Auburn. All of this is brought to you by SensiGreen Heating and Air. For air that's cool and clean, call SensiGreen. So come out and join us, man. We're going to have so much fun. Tons of people. Supposed to be a beautiful day on Friday. Sunny and 70 degrees on the covered patio. Cannot beat that, man. Come out and join us. We're looking forward to it, Uncle T-Bone.
Yeah, I can't wait. I love that place, Baumhauer. SensiGreen, good people. All partners with us here at On the Line, ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika. So we'll be in the new party patio, be covered. It'll be bright outside and beautiful, but we'll be in the shade, and we'll have plenty of TVs. There'll be plenty of Masters action. I'm with you. This weather is, you can just see it out the windows, getting a little rough. Be careful out there, folks. But this will move on through and hit Augusta here probably right about post time tomorrow, maybe a little earlier, which means that unfortunately, they're going to get a delayed start tomorrow, I bet, for the Masters.
Yeah, hopefully not, but I think that's kind of how weather works. It just moves on through. And so as I'm looking at it right now, between 4 and 5, it's going to be raining, and it is pretty much raining right now. And then the bad stuff is coming through later on tonight and this evening. So just keep an eye on that, and then it's supposed to clear up tomorrow. So hopefully that's the case. But, yeah, come out and be with us on Friday, man. We've had so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
The last couple of times we've gone out to, we went to the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We went to Fairway Auto Brokers. Now we're at Baumhauer's. I mean, look, we'll go wherever you want us to go, man. We're having so much fun, and we bring a party when we go. So be sure you come out and be with us for Masters Friday. We'll be talking everything in sports coming up this Friday. And we were talking about, before we went to break, the Aiden Holloway news of him being in the transfer portal. Dak had some really interesting thoughts on that. Looks like we're going to get to the phone lines in just a second. But you had said something, and Dak agreed with you, and I'm going to agree with you too. At this point in time, with their respective careers and where they are right now, I agree with you that I would rather have Trey Donaldson than Aiden Holloway right now on this Auburn basketball team, and here's why. The upside for Aiden Holloway, this is where I disagree with you a minute. Aiden Holloway's ceiling is higher than Trey Donaldson's. Agreed. The peak of the peak, the highest of the high,
yep.
Aiden Holloway is better than Trey Donaldson if they both are playing at their maximum potential. But I'm concerned that if Auburn kept Aiden Holloway, he was never going to get there because he didn't do anything this year. He didn't do anything. He played his best game in the first one of the year, and that was it.
I mean, he did a little bit. You know, I thought he got off to a decent start in the before conference play, and then he just kind of disappeared at times.
He had a good game against Indiana where Auburn dropped 155 points.
I mean, I probably could have had a good game against the Indiana game.
That's what I'm saying. And so,
but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I do think that the ultimate upside for him is higher than Trey Donaldson. But and Trey Donaldson's worked hard, man. Auburn's worked hard with him. I think Trey Donaldson's the kind of guy that's going to get everything he can get out of his game every night, even if he's playing bad. And I think that from what I saw out of Aiden Holloway, he's just not mature enough to do that just yet. And that's that mental toughness that Dak's talking about. You must have it to achieve your expected results.
And here's my thing.
It was so easy for him in high school, I guess, that he got down here, and he was a smaller guy. He needs to hit that weight wherever he goes. And this is what I wish somebody would talk to him about. Say, look, man, you need to just stay here another year. Let's see what happens. Because wherever you go, you're going to have to get bigger. You're going to have to get stronger. You're going to have to get tougher. If it's the fans bothering you here, guess what? Fans everywhere are going to bother you. And if you're not tough enough to ignore the haters, you're never going to be tough enough in life.
My thing is, and not that Auburn really had a choice, but I would choose Trey Donaldson because he's proven. He's proven that he can do it, and he's gotten better each and every year in each and every game, it seems like, just about. And like you said, Auburn's put a lot of time into him, and he's put a lot of time into himself. And I really was excited to see he's already made the jump from freshman to sophomore. I wanted to see the sophomore to junior jump because Trey Donaldson, wherever he goes, is going to be a superstar. Just be ready for it. And we're going to say, wow, remember when he played for Auburn? Remember when he was here and we saw him get better and now he's having his breakout season somewhere else? God forbid that be in the SEC and we got to play that guy next year. I don't want to see him because he's that good, I think.
I don't think that we're going to have to see him in the SEC from everything I understand. Probably some phone calls were made from some folks at Florida State to his family and saying, look, we'd like to have this guy back home in Tallahassee. Give him a little bit more NIL money. I'm not sure Auburn's willing to give that up. I would think with both Aiden and Trey Donaldson leaving that there would be a good bit of NIL money out there, and maybe if you wanted to keep Trey or you wanted to keep Aiden, that you could give either one of them, one of the others, part of the NIL money. A few names, though, both of them in the portal right now that I've heard or been told, Miles Rice, Washington State guard.
He's a player.
From everything I've heard, speaking of Indiana, that's a team that's really hard on him. So is Auburn. And then the J.P. Pecuse guy that we've talked about before from Furman. I do not anticipate Auburn getting both of them.
No, I don't think Auburn gets both. Auburn doesn't need both. Auburn doesn't need both. Yeah. They could, but that one of them is whoever Auburn decides they want, that's who they're going to get. And the other one, they're going to say, hey, we don't need you. And the other one's probably going to say, yeah, I don't need to be there because they play similar styles. And both of them don't have a role here. They don't have room to play here. That's the problem.
And that may be why Trey Donaldson just didn't want to go through another year of playing this half-and-half point guard when he thinks he's ready to break out and become the player that he believes he can be and has started progressing towards. I don't think Aiden Holloway started progressing towards the player he could be.
Mm-mm.
And that's the difference between the two right now. Maybe one of them has been in college a year longer, is more mature, and that's why. And that's why I think Aiden Holloway should have probably stayed.
Let's get to the phone lines once again. 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, I couldn't agree with you guys more. You know, one thing about Aiden Holloway that kind of bothered me through the season, I don't know in the – and, I mean, God love him, but in the last 5 or 10 years, I don't know how many Auburn players I've seen talk less on the court than Aiden.
Yeah, he's not a very vocal – he wasn't a very vocal guy in general.
No, not at all. And so, you know, I'm going to compare it to a guy y'all like, I think, more than I do, and that's Mark Sears at Alabama.
Mm.
Look, Sears is a guard that, you know, if he misses his first 3, 4, 5 shots, that doesn't matter. He's chucking up another 15 field goal attempts, and he's going to get his 25 points. On this team, there were too many weapons, and Aiden didn't have that chance once he missed a couple field goals. I'm sure they're chirping in the huddle. There are other guys who need the ball and demand the ball. And I really think that Aiden, if he transfers out, I think he could be a really good point guard and a ball-dominant, shooting-first kind of guard on an inferior team.
Well, he needs the confidence. There's no doubt about that, John. And maybe that's what he needs, is to go to a team where he is the guy. And maybe he wants all of that. And maybe that's what he demands as a player, is I have to get in my rhythm, get in it early, and just give me the rock and get out of the way. And you know what? If that's what he needs, there's plenty of programs out there that'll let him do that. But that's never been Bruce Pearl's way. That hasn't been the Auburn way under Bruce Pearl. And maybe that's why it didn't work out for him here.
Exactly, and he's a really good shooter. And one guy who I kind of remember, this guy was, I think, a number one overall pick in the draft. You remember Lorenzo Romar that was at Washington?
Yeah, Lorenzo. He was a really — that's — you're digging deep on that one, John.
I tell you what, but he was a guy who went to a shooting slump after, I think, he was a number one pick to like Orlando or something like that, and then, you know, just never had his shot, lost all his confidence.
And that was
a guy who was a number one pick, and I mean, it can go bust really quickly.
It happens, and that's what's crazy. I mean, we talk about that with sports all the time, and it's such a mental thing, but for somebody like Aiden Holloway, who was one of the best shooters coming out of high school, and it just never got going at Auburn. And like T-Bone said, you hate to see a guy give it up after 1 year and just bounce and get out. But if it's what he wants and he thinks it's best for him, then you got to support that.
Exactly. One last point. I liken him to kind of the quarterback who peeks over his shoulder because the number two is right there with him. I think if he was in a situation where he was the number one and they gave him the keys to the car, I think he'd be a lot more productive.
Yeah, I understand that. I think he was going to do that. He's going to need to go to somewhere like George Washington, though, next year, because it's not going to happen overnight. I'm sorry. Not from what I saw this year. He's not going to Michigan and just — they're going to say, here you go, buddy, play us 32 minutes like Mark Sears and go out there and get us 20 and 10. Not happening.
But people in his ear are telling him that, Uncle T.
Well, there you go. There's a big problem. That's a big problem right now in all college athletics at big-time programs, and that's, I think, part of the issue that a lot of these old-school coaches are complaining about when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, guys, enjoy the show. Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, John. Appreciate you calling in. 334-321-1390. Phone lines open for the rest of the show. And he kind of hit a few things right there where – yeah, if Aiden Holloway is given those keys to the program or to the offense, whatever, okay, maybe he will thrive. But as Dak said earlier, Holloway had — I mean, he had all of his chances. He came in, he didn't start the first couple of games. Trey Donaldson did right early on, but then Holloway was the starter. Holloway was the guy, and it rotated here and there, but Holloway was the main starting point guard, and he just couldn't get it done. Now, does the system that Bruce Pearl runs, does it impact that? Yeah, sure. But Auburn has had successful point guards here under Bruce Pearl. They've had some really good ones. They've had some that didn't pan out, but they've had some really, really good ones. I mean, Jared Harper, Javon McCormick, Sharif Cooper, like those guys made it work in this system. And I don't know if it's something that this coaching staff needs to adjust on their recruiting tactic and their recruiting strategy on who they go after. I've been saying that for a couple of years now. The 5'10 point guards that are just small and can shoot, that doesn't work as much in college basketball as much as it used to. Like, and that's been Bruce Pearl's what, Uncle T-Bone? Is bread and butter, right? That's been the thing he's done for a long, long time. But man, you've got to have some size if you want to be a point guard in college basketball, and especially if you want to move on to the NBA. You can't be 5'10 anymore. You've got to be 6'3", 6'4", bare minimum.
Yeah, I agree with that to an extent. I mean, unless you've just, you're some type of savvy senior who, like Mark Sears, right? I mean, you know, you the bigger the better at guard is the way I see it, but, you know, not all. It's tough to go out and just get all those guys. And I mean, you know, I think that's the Pegues guy. I don't think's but 6'1" from Furman, but you know, he's played a ton of basketball, right? There's an experience level. There's a mental toughness. He knows his game. I got to ask you a question though, Jacob. I mean, it's a serious question because you've been following this a lot more stringently than I have over the last few years. You know, I've just been the casual fan, and you're the professional. Has Bruce always run this type of fragmented minutes and rotations to this extent? I can't recall that always being the case at Auburn. Maybe it's because we only had so many players that could actually play decently when he was first here, right? But you know, the way I see it is that that works really well in the regular season. And I'm a, and who am I to question Bruce Pearl? I mean, he's the man. I'm just Uncle T on the radio. But when you get in crunch time, man, you got to let those, you got to let your studs eat, and they got to eat for a long time. They got to be up there about 30 minutes.
Well, it's something that Bruce has definitely done. And, you know, early on, no, he didn't have the luxury of going 8, 9, 10 guys deep. And this was, shoot, this was probably not, I think this was his deepest team at Auburn this past season. I mean, he legitimately was playing 10 guys before Lior got hurt and before some other guys dealt with injuries throughout the season. But Auburn at their fullest and their healthiest this past year, they were 10 deep. And that's really impressive. Now, 10 deep in the postseason? No, but Bruce has always trusted his bench and wanted to get the most out of his bench. Whereas you see a lot of these programs, Kansas and Kentucky, like they find their five and they're going to take their five and go up against you and they're going to beat you because they're just that much better than you. And that's what they trust. And that's what they put pretty much all of their stock in. Bruce Pearl doesn't coach that way. He doesn't recruit that way. And he tells them that when he goes out on the trail, when he gets in their living room, like, hey, you can come and be a star, but you're not going to be the star. We don't have just one guy, right? Auburn had a Jani Broome. Auburn had a Jalen Williams. Heck, look at the past years. Auburn had Jabari Smith, and they still didn't use him as the superstar. He wasn't just, give me the ball and get out of the way. So, yeah, Bruce Pearl's always coached this way, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I'm with you, when postseason time comes around, that's when you're supposed to shorten your bench and you say, okay, these are the guys we're trusting and we're going with. Thank you for helping us get here. It's time to go win a championship.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, it's you know, going to be a lot of change in the basketball program next year. I don't think that this will stop for the years to come. So, you know, how do you manage it? Who do you get to come in? How do you replace this type of talent? Do you look for players in the when you're recruiting them out of high school who may not be all world but still really solid, not quite as highly rated, but you know you got a confidence that they're going to give you at least a couple years in your program so you don't have to go through this transition? And a lot of ways to skin a cat. You're going to have to figure out how to do that multiple ways moving forward in whatever sports you're in college.
We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open if you want to join us here late. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap it up after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a great show. It's flown by yet again. Good for both of us to be back in the studio together. You were here Monday. I was here yesterday. Both back together today. Tomorrow, we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We'll also have Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. So that'll be fun to have him on and talking about all the news around the SEC, including John Calipari to Arkansas. Really the biggest news around the conference so far in the last couple of days. So that will be on tomorrow's show. If you missed any of today's show, just go find the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We've talked Auburn football recruiting. We've talked Auburn basketball transfer portal. We talked the John Calipari news a little bit. I had Jordan Hill from Dogs 247 on back in the first hour, so that was a lot of fun. And just talked Auburn baseball, too, and gave our thoughts about what happened last night against Alabama State. So all of that was on today's show. If you missed it, you can go catch up with the podcast. And, man, we're getting closer. Masters starts tomorrow, Uncle T-Bone. I know the rain is not looking great for the Masters, but, man, I hope they at least get some holes in. And then Friday could be a very, very busy day at Augusta.
Yeah, a lot of golf this weekend, man. It's always a fun time of year. I love the Masters. So it'll be very exciting. Good to see the big cat out there trying to have another whack at it. I think that there's limited years in seeing him at Augusta, unfortunately, with all his health issues and his in his back. Like you said, he's walking around. It kind of looks like a robot. It's hard to function in a golf situation that competitive, any golf situation when you're injured like that or have been injured like that. I'm kind of pulling for Rory this week.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Rory fan, but, you know, He struggled a lot at Augusta and had his moments where he could have taken care of business. Heck of a talent. A lot of people aren't big fans of his, but you don't ever know, man. Anybody could rise up and get this one, and it'd be nice to see him go ahead and complete the career Grand Slam, though.
Who's your official pick to win the Masters this week?
Yeah, I'm going to take Rory.
You're picking Rory. Wow, yeah. You're picking him to get it done, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I am. How about you?
Man, I want to take the obvious pick, and I love Scottie Scheffler, and I think he is the best golfer in the game right now. Mm-hmm. He's the best iron player we've seen since Tiger Woods, and if he could putt at average rate, he would never lose a golf tournament. Would never lose. He hits it in the fairway off the tee box. He puts it within 6 or 5 feet, but he three putts it, and so you can't ever get him to win. He's won before, obviously. He's won the Masters before, but you can't get him winning consistently because of his putter being so inconsistent. But I think there are some big-time names that, and look, Scotty is the heavy, heavy favorite to win this thing. I think Xander Schauffele could be a guy to keep an eye out for, so keep looking at him. I think there are just so many possibilities here. Oh, goodness, I don't know. Because I want to pick like five different guys, but I don't have like an actual pick. But I'm gonna go with Matt Fitzpatrick. Going Matt Fitzpatrick.
Well, that's out of the blue.
I like him. I think he's a good player.
He's like 12.
Hey, and he's gonna be wearing a green jacket as a 12-year-old on Sunday.
I'm gonna have to fade Matt Fitzpatrick, so he'll probably win. But you know, it's just a great golf tournament, and can't wait to sit back and enjoy it this weekend and see how all the drama unfolds. But you can help us unfold that drama Friday at Baumhauer's. We'll be there 2 to 6. Can't wait for a live remote, Jacob.
Yes, looking forward to that. 2 to 6, Baumhauer's on Friday, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating and Air. 99% chance of rain tomorrow. Thunderstorms in the morning at Augusta, and beautiful sunshine the rest of the way. We'll talk some more about that tomorrow here on the show. Until tomorrow, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe in all the weather. I'll talk to you later.